Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
Ah, you said it, girl.
Jimmy,
yeah.
Communicate and collaborate.
We give, showing
others how to live. Well, good evening, good night, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're listening in from. This is Find It Out Friday, and you're waking up with Linda McShann. This show is being sponsored by CUC, Community Unification and Collaboration, an organization that helps you reach your goals out there in education, workshops, higher ed, and we focus on the young minds of our youth out here. We have Black History Month. It's going to be our topic, and we have Dr. Elizabeth Britton that's going to be on with us, and she wants you to understand. So we'll bring her on because we're celebrating Black history, then, now, and forever. You know, we mustn't be afraid of anything. It is important to remain firm in our conviction. There is no great deal and plenty of scheming and duplicity in the world. It is foolish to allow ourselves to be swayed by such things. It only leads to unhappiness. And that is a partial quote from my mentor, Daisaku Ikeda, who has taught us the correct way to live, to create happiness for ourselves and others. So, you know, my quote, you know, I'm going to start it off every show, from my favorite poet, Mr. James Baldwin, and it says, if you know from whence you came, there are absolutely no limitations to where you can go. I'm going to repeat that again. If you know from whence you came, there are absolutely no limitations to where the youth can go. That's James Baldwin. So before we get started here, I'm going to give you something to think about and to make sure to find it out. Check out your health. We need our health here. You know, we have 11 days before that primary. Vote out there. And you have to be healthy, mighty mind and spirit out there. And for the persons with diabetes, Dr. Glenda Davis will educate you with the truth, and nothing but the truth. On February 9th, there will be a free online workshop, Pray, from Dr. Glenda Davis, Exposing Diabetes. That website is www.exposingdiabetes.com. Listen to her. You're going to get some information. You will find out about the lies that you've been told, and she will educate you on the best way to clear this up. You know, diabetes is curable, even though they don't want you to cure. So before we get started and bring on our wonderful guest, Dr. Elizabeth Britton from Cal State Northridge, Professor of Africana Studies, I want you to gather up your pens and your pads because you're getting ready to get some information. But listen to this. This is Black History. Then, now, and forever. A winner don't quit on themselves out here. And we have the honor and the pleasure to have Dr. Elizabeth Britton with us, professor at Cal State Northridge, CSUN as we know it. This is a lady that I've known a while, and she is about empowering, uplifting, and inspiring all. Dr. Britton, we'd like to welcome you in to Find It Out Friday, and we appreciate you taking out the time to be here with us. We are honored. Dr. Britton, welcome in. How are you this evening?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
We are so glad to have you. I know you're busy, 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 and this is such an honor for us. The listeners are waiting. I have my pens and paper, and we want to know about this Black History Month. That is our topic here, and, you know, I can go on and on and on about your inspiration, your empowering, your uplifting, and making it possible that you always remind whoever you meet to step into that greatness and stay there, but don't forget to take others with them. We love you. Welcome in, Dr. Britton.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be with you.
And we're glad to have you here with us. You know, we wanted to pick out this topic because we are celebrating Black History Month, but, you know, Black history is then, now, and forever. And when you stated that you wanted to come on and share this, whether we have the best person here that's going to give us this information. You know, I can get on this pulpit and I can go yakky, 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 but I'm going to be quiet over here and let you take it away and just share with us whatever you have to share.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting for me because since I have had the wonderful opportunity as a college professor to interact with so many wonderful students, which I continue to do, and as a college student myself in my younger years, I can remember still so vividly how those inspirational moments in my courses, in my reading, really helped me to go beyond what I thought were perhaps the confines and limitations for a young African-American woman. And as I read about these historical figures and I heard the lectures for males and females, it was just eye-opening. And I thought, wow, if they could do it all those years ago, in some cases centuries ago, well, I should be able to do it now. I'm going to take up the baton, and then I can run and pass it on to others. So it's so much fun for me having dialogues with my students and having them have similar reactions, not just of information, but inspiration. You know, for us, I'm talking about myself and many of my students, we really don't even think in terms of Black History Month. We think in terms of Black History Year. We celebrate all year long. And
yes,
also, it's so much fun because in my courses, I have the wonderful opportunity to have students from all over the campus and all over the world. So I always say to them, you don't have to be African-American to celebrate Black History Month. We're all participating in these incredible aspects of uplift and inspiration. And in so doing, I think the students have a good time as they begin to share examples from their cultures. So there may be a student from a different spiritual community, perhaps a Muslim student, or there may be a student who was born in another country, perhaps in Europe. I've had students from as far away as Sweden. So it's so exciting when they begin to then say, wow, this is inspiring for me to dig into my history and share. And then I think we all come to similar conclusions. You know, we're all humans. We're all people all over the world. And in so many cases, things that we honor in family, community, neighborhoods, they may have a different name or they're spoken in a different language, but there's so many similarities that it really becomes such an exciting experience. And then we can exchange opportunities, right, to honor each other's various cultural or historical traditions. So for me, it's also amazing to think about we're in the year 2024, and in 1915 is what I was trying to say, that's when the original Negro History Week started, 1915. So we have this incredibly long trajectory, including up to now, 2024, which over time has evolved into Black History Month and official celebrations being honored politically across the country, culturally, in different churches, community centers, in so many different venues where young people are able to see, wow, way back then, that was someone who was a young person too, and they had aspirations. So Dr. Carter G. Woodson said, I have to find a way to be able to keep this tradition alive because, of course, it wasn't that long before that when Africans were brought, in many cases against our will, right, to different parts of the world as to labor, technically, we were not even considered human beings. It was in the Constitution. We were considered what the word is chattel. And so legally, mm-hmm. it meant a possession that an actual human being could be owned by somebody else. And so it, at that time, it was often illegal to teach a slave to read or write because we would know too much. So fortunately, mm-hmm. we were still extremely intelligent. And even in many cases, when people who were enslaved were not able to formally learn how to read or write, they were still very intelligent. They could hear, they could discuss in private, and they began to understand the difference between these different conditions. And so also the contradictions of with the American Revolution, right, having the white say, well, we don't want to be enslaved by the British, right? We don't. We're the colonists. We fled to the New World to escape, but we don't mind enslaving somebody else. So from the start, even with young whites of allies of good conscience, and that's something that has also come out so frequently now in our different Black History Month celebrations, the fact that consistently over centuries, we have had so many white allies who, young or old, and male and female, said these things are not morally right, and we have to stand up in favor of what is correct. So I wanted to take a few moments to mention, in some cases, this may be a reminder for many of the listeners and perhaps a little bit of new information for others, just a few key names going back over the centuries in terms of the 19th and 20th centuries. You may have heard of Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois and Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer. And Dr. Du Bois, William Edward Burghardt Du Bois, lived such a long time. He was, in fact, born at toward the end of the 19th century and lived quite a bit throughout the 20th century. So he was born in 1868, and he died in 1963. I think he is very inspiring to many of us. You don't have to be a college person to be inspired by him. But in his case, again, we're talking about being born at a time in which many Black people routinely, even in the North, he was born in Massachusetts, were still considered to be quote-unquote inferior people. And so he had a challenge, like many of our young people today. A single mom raised him. His father, unfortunately, had to leave the home, and they were very low income. His mother was a domestic worker because, again, many people couldn't find other types of work at that time if they were African American. So he's a good example of white allies coming together. In his community, they had to scrape together the money because he was very intelligent. They wanted to send him to college. So even this, at that time, to get even what we call a BA, the basic college education, was amazing. And he spent his first 2 years at Fisk University, Nashville, Tennessee, which we now call an HBCU, right? Historically Black Colleges and Universities. So that was amazing in and of itself. And he wrote later about how he began to really understand what it meant to be an African-American person because he saw even more of the challenges in the South. However, he was so excited about education that he decided that he wanted to go on in his education, and he wanted to do it at one of the top institutions in the country and in the world at the time, Harvard University. So he was from Massachusetts, so he was familiar with Harvard. So, of course, many white students were shocked, right, because that would be difficult for many white students to qualify at Harvard. And so once again, he had to get assistance to scrape together the money to be able to attend. And sure enough, he was accepted. And then he went to the University of Berlin, because by then he had decided that not only did he want to get the basic BA, he wanted to go on and get what we call a doctorate, right, a PhD. And so again, even for many white students, this was considered amazing. What? And so he went to the University of Berlin to study with some of the top scholars in the world there. And that meant he had to also learn to speak German. And then if you can just imagine, it was something called the Slater Fund, And they had donated money for him to be able to travel and live in Europe, in Germany. And he wrote his dissertation, right, this big, huge academic study in order to be able to qualify to get the PhD there at the University of Berlin. And tragically, the money ran out from the Slater Fund just before he could defend the dissertation that he had spent so much time and effort writing. He had to come back to the United States without the PhD. But he was undeterred. He refused to give up. Would you believe that he came back to the United States and wrote a second dissertation? And this is almost like writing two books, right? He didn't reuse the first one. He wrote a second one for Harvard. And he was working by this time with some of the top American scholars in the country. And so by 1895, he became the first African-American to receive his PhD from Harvard. An incredible accomplishment. And again, this is just before even the 20th century. And to give you an idea of how excellent his work was, Harvard, the university itself, was so impressed with the excellence of his scholarship that they made his dissertation their first volume of the Harvard Historical Studies series.
Oh, goodness.
And that became Du Bois's first book. They knew excellence when they saw it. But tragically, again, because of his race, only because of his race, he couldn't get a professorship at Harvard. Because the white parents did not want a black person teaching white students. Otherwise, he was supremely qualified and, of course, then went on to become a professor at other institutions, and certainly published many books, sociological studies, historical studies, and others. And in our remaining moments, I just want to also remind us about an amazing woman. We have, of course, so many examples, and hopefully everyone will feel inspired to maybe go to Netflix or go to a documentary or go to the library and read some biographies. Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer, born in 1917, died in 1977, and she lived in Mississippi And she and her family were sharecroppers, meaning that they were poor farmers. And she was the youngest of 20 children. And then she herself, after she married and had children, she was in her 40s already when the SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, came to Mississippi to try to help Black people be able to register to vote. Now, legally, African Americans had won the right to vote based on the 15th Amendment and the 19th Amendment to the Constitution. However, in terms of racism, there was still this tremendous backlash. And so Mrs. Hamer, already in her 40s, journeyed to try to register. And the same night that she returned home to her little house where she was a sharecropper, the white owner of the land came to their house and told her, oh no, we're not ready for that in Mississippi. That same night, he forced the family out of their home and off of his land, although she and her husband had worked faithfully for him for over 18 years. Mm-hmm. And so without employment, Mrs. Hamer, again, already in her 40s, joined with the SNCC students and began to organize others for the right to vote. And then, amazingly, in 1964, Mrs. Hamer and other courageous African Americans in Mississippi created their own political party, the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, as an alternative to the state's white-controlled Democratic Party. And as it happened, she came and her and the party came to national attention when they actually attended the 1964 Democratic National Convention. And this is when President, or he wanted to be reelected president, Lyndon Johnson was hopefully going to become the nominee again. And so because it was a national convention, when Mrs. Hamer gave her speech regarding the effort to be qualified to get the credentials for her party, the entire country was listening, 70 million people. And then this nationwide broadcast, the nation was shocked when they discovered how she had been beaten after trying to register. The police took them on trumped up charges. And the police chief told her, you're going to wish you were dead. And so her courageous efforts and those of many people like her led to the 1964 Civil Rights Act being passed by Congress and the 1965 Voting Rights Act being passed. And those are the very pieces of legislation that are still protecting us today. So I'm so happy to share a few reminders with you tonight.
Well, Dr. Britton, I'm over here writing. You know, it's always a pleasure. Like I said, Black history then, now, and forever is what you said every day. We have so many persons, the W.D. Du Bois and Fannie Lou Hamer. I've studied a lot about them, and it's a lot of W.D. Du Bois and Fannie Lou Hamer still walking around today, still experiencing these setbacks, these holdbacks, but what we have to do, and I'm going to repeat it again, my quote from James Baldwin, if you know from whence you came, there are absolutely no limitations to where you can go. And this is something from the information that we've gotten from Dr. Britton that speaks for itself. Dr. Britton, you know I'm a woman of my word. I say time to have you on 30 more minutes, a whole hour, but I know that you're busy, and we appreciate you coming on, giving us some this enlightenment, sharing with us. And as I said before, Dr. Elizabeth Britton is empowering, she's uplifting, and she's inspiring to all. And just those two persons that you spoke on, I know that there's many, many. I'm not going to beg and plead that you come back before the money's up, and I'm going to ask you to come back anytime, Dr. Britton, you'd like to come in and share. And I'll make this time for you, listeners. This is Dr. Elizabeth Britton, professor at Cal State Northridge, CSUN, Africano Studies. And she is someone that you want to meet, be in her presence, and she'll bring a smile to your face and a smile to your life. Dr. Britton, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are honored to have you to celebrate as we are celebrating Black History Month. We appreciate you. We appreciate your time. And I will be contacting you later. But I'm a woman of my word, and I'm going to say, Dr. Britton, you want to leave us with one word before I go out? Just anything, whatever comes to your mind. And we're going to keep this in mind until the end of the month and the rest of our lives. Give us one, please.
You know, Maya Angelou said, I'm a phenomenal woman. So yes. I hope everyone will remind ourselves, men and women, we are phenomenal. And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Britton. We are phenomenal out there. Step into your greatness and stay there. And don't forget to take others with you. We love you. Thank you, Dr. Britton. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
You too.
What would they say?
What would our leaders of old say when they see the news today? The activists, the artists, the writers, when they look at us and see our pain, what would they say?
What would they say? They can feel our pain. If they were here today, what would Malcolm say? What would Martin say? If they could see our pain, what would Maya say? What would Nina say? If we choose to fight, would Maya Angelou have a call to utter to help us rise up from this dark, painful gutter? What kind of story would James Baldwin write? And what speech could Martin Luther King preach to shed some light? Lorraine and Barry write a new play that deals with all the heartache that we're going what through today. If they were here today,
they say?
Oh, if they could feel our pain,
they
I want to know if they I want to know
what would they say
to the breaking news we see?
What would they say?
What would they say if we choose to bend the knee?
What would they say?
Not even Richard Pryor would dare to crack a joke.
What would they say
when he sees a man who was bound to cuff and choke?
What
here today, what would they say?
You know what? As Dr. Elizabeth Britton just shared, you know, we had 1964, the Civil Rights Act, but 1965 was that voting act. And, you know, we have 11 days before this primary. You know, a lot of things that happened so that we could get out and vote. So get out and vote. Do not think that your vote does not matter. You know, the pain lives on, but we must carry on and move forward out there. That was such an education. We have so many inventors, so much that has been contributed, so much that we forget about. But we also have to remember the shoulders of the persons that we're standing on. So we cannot let them down. We cannot let ourselves down. We cannot let society down. Move on and carry on. This is Find It Out Friday.
The power of love. We must be free. I never thought the sun would shine my way. All I've known is empty promises and pain. I need a way out, some type of escape. So I take refuge in this place.
Even though the road to glory seems long, the fire in me could win a marathon. Even if nothing you can't overcome.
If you dream, then you can do anything. If you dream, you're halfway destined.
Long time ago, now the doors I needed to get through were always closed.
Storms and rain everywhere I go, but I don't give up 'cause I know. Hey, hey, hey.
Even if they say can't win,
believing you can go where you've never been,
and you can fly high with the strength of all your friends.
If you dream, then you can do anything. If you
dream,
you're halfway to destiny.
Attitudes, assumptions, avoidance, non-action will never, never outmatch justice and the universal protocol. It's about being victorious in everything that we do. not bending, not being defeated, not ever, ever retreating, okay? We have to be the sun out here, not allowing anyone our sun rays. We have to uplift, elevate ourselves so that we can uplift and elevate others. Black history, then, now, and forever. Okay, this is Find It Out Friday. Just listen, relax, relax, and understand.
I was born by the river in a little town, and oh, just like that river I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes, man. Now I go to the movies and I go downtown. But somebody keeps telling me don't hang around. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know change don't come. Oh, yes, it will. So now I go to my brother, and I say, brother, help me please. But somehow he winds up knocking me I'm able to carry on. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Yes, it will. Oh, I know a change gon' come. I said I know.
The change is already here, and on March 5th, that's that primary election, when we get out and vote, 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 we're going to make sure that we put those change makers in the right seats out there. It's very, very important. That's March 5th, the primary, okay? Get out and vote. Check those boxes. Don't think that your vote does not matter. And the same day, March 5th, the Black Family Summit will be going and being held at the California Endowment Center. Now, Stephanie Hayes is a part of that. You know, she comes on with Tell It Tuesday. And in order to get that information, email Stephanie at fashionablyfit22@gmail.com. fashionablyfit22@gmail.com. That's spelled F-A-S-H-I-O-N, B as in boy, L-Y, F as in Frank, I-T, 22@gmail.com. You want to attend that. And in order for us to keep moving and make these changes, again, I'm going to repeat to my diabetics out there who are plagued with that disease, check out Dr. Glenda Davis, the truth, and nothing but the truth. There will be an online workshop, free workshop on February the 29th. And check out the website, www.exposingdiabetes.com. That's Dr. Glenda Davis. You're going to get educated. You're going to understand why you have to do what you have to do, and you're going to understand, and she's going to share with you about a lot of lies that you have been told. So take out time, do your research, get your help, understand. We're talking about Black history, then, now, and forever. And I tell my young adults, don't get upset because they don't want the books in the classroom, and they trying to destroy your history. You are the book. So you walk out there and let people see how to turn your pages, okay? It's Black History Month. We love you out here. Find it out Friday.
song was saying, why did you say it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life.
Collaborate. We give, showing others how to live. We care and share.